Okay, welcome back to the show. My second guest today is a gentleman by the name of
David M. Taylor, the second. He's written a few books. What I'm really interested in is the book that he has written that I have in my hand called Lucifer, Soldiers, Serpents, and Sin. So as you know, on the show, what we do here is we find out who the individual is, where they're from, what makes them do what they do, and find out a little bit about how they got started with that. So what I want to do is waste no time and bring David up on the show. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tony. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I appreciate you taking time out for us today to help share to our audience what it is that you're doing in your world. But before we get to that, I'd like to find out a little bit about David. So where are you calling in from, and where are you from originally?
I'm calling from Chicago, and I'm originally from Evanston, which is the first city north of Chicago.
I experienced the Cubbies winning. Even if you're not a baseball fan, I don't know how you couldn't root for the Cubs. But are you a White Sox or a Cubs fan?
Oh, I'm a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
So it's a good year.
Yeah. And I'm predicting that if you're a betting man, to take them to win the World Series again next year. Now that the curse is broken, everything's possible to take place.
Yeah, well, that might be a little bit optimistic, but we'll go with it for now.
All right, so you're from Chicago, and you're in Chicago. Tell me, man, what is it that, you're a Christian author for sure, but, I mean, have you been a Christian since a young age? Was it something in your family? Did you find it later in life? Tell me how you got there.
Yes, I accepted the Lord for myself when I was 9 years old. But that was because of the lifestyle of my grandmother. When I would go to my grandmother's house, she would always make us read the scripture and say a prayer before we ate. And on Saturday morning, she'd always fix me handmade homemade pancakes, but we had to have morning devotion before we did it. And I could feel, I didn't know it was the presence of God at the time, but I could feel the glow and the warmth and the love of God just radiating off of her and in her home. So it was both the things she did and the way she lived her life that introduced me to the fact that God was very, very real. And then I accepted the Lord for myself as a child, 9 years old.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. I know that I've always been a little bit late, right? But it took me to the age of 54 before I got there. So I'm still on the upside of learning and getting the wows, and I'm just starting to experience the newness is gone. So now I'm making mistakes that I thought were easy to keep in the beginning. But that's a different show, David. What I want to do is make sure everybody knows. I want to make sure they know how to get to your website so they can be following along. What is this? The letter D, the letter T, D as in David, T as in Taylor, the number 2, author.org. There's a lot of information here on the site about David. But, David, so tell me, what's your background? What got you to where you are today? What is it? College, a job, marriage, something? Give me some of your background.
Well, my background is, like so many people, I was called to the ministry very young and just did not want to do it. Just did not want to go into that. And so what the Lord has been doing in my life has been, honestly, just loving me consistently, but teaching me how to accept him not just as Savior, but to accept him as Lord. And so that's really been the journey, is that, we're taught that idea about being born again, going to heaven when we die, but that's Jesus as Savior. But what I've discovered in my life and in my travels is you have to accept him as Lord too. And so, so the Lord has really worked with me throughout college career, and I became a dad really, really young. I'm no longer with my wife, but I became a dad really, really young, and everything that came along with that experience, and learning how to surrender to his will, learning that he loved me more than I loved myself, learning that his plan for my life was much, much, much greater and much higher than mine, and realizing, quite frankly, that my thoughts were just too small. So, you know, that's been my process walking with Jesus. He's always loved me, always shown me grace, kindness, and mercy. He's always been wonderful. But, you know, God is not going to make you serve him. If you serve God, it's going to be your free choice and your free will, and the Lord will let you have your way as much as you need to until you figure out that trying to be Lord over your own life is not going to produce what you want.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Now, when you came to these conclusions, you know, you mentioned it, and I know here it says, and people can find all this information out by going to DT2Author.org, or there's another website, SecretsOfTheRealm.com as well, that tells about who you are. But were you always a writer? Is this something that you started doing after not being married? You know, as men, sometimes the block wall has to fall on us a couple of times. Some are a little luckier than others, only one time. But is this something that made you decide to be a writer, or were you always a writer?
I was always a writer. I've been writing music and comic books and poetry since I was about 7 years old. So I started drawing very early. I started reading comics very early, and I started making my own superheroes. Then I started writing poetry, and then I discovered my love for music, started writing songs. So, yeah, I have been a writer since I was in single-digit living. The part of my journey was, though, I didn't envision doing it for a living. I didn't envision that those ideas and those concepts, that the creativity that God had given me would actually be, you know, what I was supposed to do. I kind of was an entrepreneur, and so I kind of was on the track to kind of take over his business, but eventually I came to understand that it was really okay for me to live my dream, but that was a multi-year process that didn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I run a men's Bible study once a week, and it's fascinating to hear what we as men think as we grow up in life and what our responsibilities are supposed to be, and, you know, be a good Christian, right? And, you know, like you said about, you know, the difference between, you know, having a religion and following the Lord and trust and all these different things. But as men, we don't have time. We're busy, man. We got to do all the right things so we can check off all the boxes of things that we have in our mind is supposed to happen. And as you grow older, we learn that they're not necessarily true. When you started writing, you know, you said younger life, you did comic books and stuff like that. When I look at the book Lucifer, you know, I get books in the mail all the time when I'm doing radio interviews. And this book came and I was like, okay, what's this about? You know, But it made me pick the book up right away. Usually I carry them into my office and set them on my desk. But this made me pick it up right away because I wanted to know, hey, is this about, what is this for Lucifer? Is this about Satan? Is it about God? So explain to me the cover. Lucifer, Soldiers, Serpents, and Sin.
Well, everything about the cover is significant. And so I put it together with extreme detail. And I mean absolutely everything was on purpose. The fact that the cover is striking, it's such a striking, malevolent image, that's on purpose because I want people to know to take it seriously. The Bible says to be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So there's so many times when people make fun of the devil or they make fun of hell or they take it lightly. So I wanted an image that would stop people and help you to understand this is not a joke and this is not a game. That's number one. Number two, on the cover, you can see different colorations in his wings and different markings. That's significant in the book. And then the subtitle, the second part of the title, Soldier, Serpent, and Sin, that book you have is the first book of a trilogy. So I'm actually going to be dealing with each one of those topics, about soldiers, about serpents, and about sin. So everything about the cover is important. Everything about the cover is on purpose. Everything about the cover is indicative of what's to come. And the book is about the war in heaven. And I know people tend to think of heaven as a place of peace, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that war broke out in heaven. And if God has to deal with war, then we shouldn't be surprised that we have to deal with war. That's another reason I wanted that image to be so powerful, because there are so many believers who think that because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have to deal with tough times or tough things or conflict. And that has never been true. We've always had to stand against the devil from the Garden of Eden, because the devil was in the garden. So that whole idea, that idyllic Norman Rockwell concept that people have, has never been true for humanity. We have always had to fight. And so I wanted all of that imagery and all of that focus to be captured on my cover.
I got to tell you, it's there, brother. It's there. I like it. And now that I'm hearing this, it makes more sense to me. And I was reading somewhere, I don't know if it was the back of the book, in the book, something about the devil came down here in a lightning bolt or something and was homeless. Did I get the right book when I'm saying this? Because I found something in there.
That's Luke 10:18 is the scripture. The scripture is Jesus talking, and he said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven." Okay, so As Lightning was my original title. That's how the work started. But then I ended up changing it to the title it is now. But the idea of what the Lord says, the Bible tells you what happened, but the Bible doesn't tell you how it happened. And so I imagine what would that have looked like? When the Lord said he saw the devil fall from heaven like lightning, what did that look like, and how did it happen? And so that was the beginning of the idea that made me begin to write the trilogy, because, again, this is the first of the trilogy.
Now, and I apologize for not having such a great memory, but once I turned 60, I got a better excuse now. it said, I read somewhere where, like Satan fell from heaven in a lightning bolt, and then he was homeless. So, I mean, we look around in today's world. I mean, it's, you know, it's probably five or six shows of what's gone wrong in today's world. But the thing of it is we have a lot of people homeless. And I wonder, when I read that, I wonder if these people feel like they're being punished because they're homeless. I mean, Satan came down here. He was the only guy here, right? And he kind of was like pushed out and kind of disowned, and, you know, he was off the path, right? So I wonder if that had any comparison to that.
Well, there's a difference between the way God deals with angels and the way God deals with man. You must remember that angels are not made in God's image, but we are. And so when we fail, God already has a plan of redemption for us to buy us back, to redeem us, to draw us back to him. But when the angels rebel, there is no redemption if you're a fallen angel. And one of the reasons that demons are so crazy is because they realize they have lost their glory. They have lost their place in heaven. They have lost their place in God. And there is absolutely no way for them to get it back. That's not true for us. So when you see homeless people, that is not God punishing us. That's, you know, there's some other reasons for that. But no, that's not God saying there's no way back to him. That's what God says to angels, that there's no way back to him. But God never says that to mankind. The only thing mankind can do is hand away and reject his offer of grace. If you reject his offer of grace, that is not him rejecting you. That is you rejecting him, because we're made in his image. We're the object of his affection. We're the focus of his love. So, yeah, it's not the same kind of thing.
Okay. And I like the way you explained that. Thank you. I have, you know, you had mentioned that there's going to be, this is a trilogy of books. So as I'm reading through different things, you know, I wanted to ask you, I always ask people to send me in a question or two, right? And one of the questions that was sent in by your publicist, I think it was, is why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Now, that's probably a well-asked question multiple times. I mean, you know, I've heard myself ask myself that question, you know, like, why me? But why do bad things happen to good people in your mind?
Well, again, that's the reason why I wrote the book. Because it's the devil. It's the devil attacking us. And the reason that people are unprepared, once again, is because they didn't believe that they had to fight. They didn't believe that, you know, people believe that you can just live your life and I'm not bothering anybody. But that means you don't understand Satan. You don't understand that his goal, his desire, is to try to destroy us on as many levels as he can. And one of the favorite tricks of the devil is striking down people who are not in Christ. Because Christ is our only defense. We have no defense against Satan apart from Christ. And so there are many times people are cut down or afflicted by the devil, and he does that to make people hate God and try to make people blame God. But that's not God, that's Satan. And here's the principle. If you don't understand that the devil is real, he gets to beat up on you for free.
I like that. I like that. So, you know, I think that people allow Satan in all the time by the choices that we make, and I don't know anyone smart enough not to make those mistakes. So it is a very common thing. What is one of the things that you hope that people get from reading your book that's going to help them in the future? Because every day Satan's knocking on the door. You know, when we feel as though we're getting closer to God, he shows up, you know. And I always know that I'm getting closer to the sweet spot when Satan starts showing up. But what is your advice to people? What is something that you think that they could get out of this book that's going to help them get past that roadblock?
What I want them to see is that the devil is organized and that you need to be organized too. That you need to get your life in order, get under the banner of Christ, get under the blood of Jesus. Go before God and ask God to forgive you of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and accept him as your Lord so that you can be covered by his blood, covered by his grace. Because that's the only defense we have against this enemy that's running around on earth, and now he's angry. And he can't get it back. And so he's going to make a point to try to destroy us. So I want them to get saved. I want them to get born again. I want them to get under the blood of Jesus. And I want them to know that that is part of getting your house in order, is getting right with God. If you don't get right with God, you are literally uncovered before a hostile enemy. And so I want them to feel inspired by reading how the war happened, that God has to deal with war, so we have to deal with war, and God has to deal with rebellion, so we have to deal with rebellion. I want them to stop being shocked about, you know, the things you have to deal with as human beings. Get that Norman Rockwell, you know, idyllic, you know, get that picture out your head and realize you've got to fight in life. And you've got to realize that you have to fight, and then you have to realize whom you're fighting. So all of that is in my book.
Now, you've written a lot of children's books, too. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
And if you don't mind me asking, how old are your children? I know you have two children.
How old are my children? Oh, my children are grown.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I had them very young. Yeah, they're not little ones no more.
Mm-hmm. And what do they think of the writing that you do?
They like it. I mean, you know, I'm dad to them, so, you know, anything dad does is kind of funny, kind of goofy. You know, it's not the same, you know, when you're dealing with your kids. But my son in particular told me he enjoyed a lot of the imagery in the book. So, I mean, you know, they like it, but your kids cannot be objective about you. so they, you know, they're not going to have an objective opinion.
It's just that. Yeah, I hear you. And so are any of them talented like you are with the drawing or the writing or the music?
Say that again?
Are any of them talented like you are with the writing or the music or the drawing?
You know, I tease them all the time because both of them went into careers in the finance industry. But my daughter has a beautiful soprano voice and plays the violin when she was younger. My son has a beautiful tenor voice and plays the piano. But neither one of them really wanted to do music for a living. So I always tease them. I was like, you saw what my life was like, so you wanted, you know, something a little bit more stable. But they, you know, they have the, you know, the gifts, but they don't, it doesn't really drive them like it drives me, because I'm writing all the time. I'm dealing with ideas. I mean, I got so much stuff in the works now, more music, more books, you know, that's just in me. That's just what God has created me to do. So, yeah, some of that's in them, but it's not really their life's passion like it is mine.
Yeah. Well, they're younger, too. So, you know, we travel over some roads that make us know the difference. Having a good job and making money is an important thing when we're younger. As we get older, we realize it's just good to have some money to support ourselves with, but there's a whole bigger plan that God had for us maybe before we knew it. So, you know, what is the next book coming out? Have you started it?
Yes. Next book is coming out next year. I'm trying to figure out which quarter, because everywhere I go, I just came back from ICON, which is the biggest science fiction convention in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And everybody, because I have fans there now, they're asking me, like, when is the sequel going to be out? I'm like, sometime next year. I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to, you know, give people a date and miss my deadline, but it is going to be out next year. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying getting it ready. I can't wait to release it, but I want to make sure everything is like I want it.
Can you explain ICON?
ICON stands for the Iowa Convention. I forgot the acronym, but it's a sci-fi convention. It's for sci-fi, fantasy, gamers, cosplay, so people that are into the whole comic world, the whole geek world, you know, that kind of thing. It's a convention where we all get together, and there's different cosplay contests, and they have authors and residents, guest authors. I met Stephen Gould, who's the man that wrote Jumper that got turned into a movie.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's just a wonderful. But, I mean, I love Comic Cons. I mean, those are my people. I love being around that whole vibe. I just love it.
Very cool. And people can find that on your website. There's a link that they can click on. What's the next event you got coming up?
Next event I got coming up, book-wise, is going to be some, I'm going to do a Christmas package, and I may have some new stuff in there, but I'm going to do some stuff for Christmas, so probably the next week or two I'll have some more news about my Christmas releases that will be running all the way through December, and then also just on my other tip, I'm releasing some music as well. But author-wise, that's what I'm doing. There's going to be some Christmas specials coming up real soon.
Now, do you sing Christian music or write Christian music? Or?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That is my focus, is gospel and Christian music.
And is there any place on your website where people can find out or hear it or purchase it?
Well, the name of my band is Shades of the Cross, and I'm in the process of re-releasing our biggest hit single from the late 90s. And then I have a new project in the works. So things for people to do is hit me up on social media. So if they find me on Twitter, they can find me at DT2 Author at Twitter, and I can give them a rundown. I'm putting together a website with all my stuff, but, you know, that's a lot of stuff to put together. So I tell people, just contact me on social media, and I can give you updates, and then, you know, I can get you on my whatever mailing list you're interested in. If you're interested in music release, if you're interested in book release, if you want comic book releases, you know, whatever. But that's really the best way to find me. Just find me on my Twitter, and we can start a dialogue, and I can show you which list to get on or which website to go to.
Very good. And that's the at sign, DT2, the number two author, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Well, man, it's time goes quickly here, but I really appreciate you taking time out to have you come on the show and explain this. I think that this allows, you know, reaching people with the Lord is not as easy as someone might think. And sometimes, you know, they look at you like you have a third eye. Sometimes, you know, they're just sent to you. Sometimes they're in trouble. The cover of this book gives a whole different community the opportunity to pick it up and look at it and find the Lord in it. I mean, that's a whole community in itself. So I really appreciate what you're doing, and I feel blessed that you came on the show and shared it with us. Hope you'll come back and share with us the next book when it comes out.
I certainly will, Tony. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been wonderful to talk to you. And I just want to encourage you, you know, don't worry about coming to the Lord when you get it later or anything, because God still has plenty for you to do. You are already touching thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives with what you're doing right now. So I just want you to be encouraged, because you're making a real difference.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do. I really do appreciate that. And like I said, we'll be following along with you. And if anyone out there wants to get in touch with you, how can they get right to you? I know you said Twitter. They can find you on Twitter at the letter D, the letter T, the number two author. Okay, so at
and then
sign
they can,
D2
find
author.
Me on, right, find me on Facebook. I'm David Taylor 2, 2 capital I's. You can find me on Facebook. And I'm always posting on Facebook the latest updates on everything. So yeah, find me on Facebook. David Taylor and then 2 capital I's.
I'll be doing that, man. I'll be following you now. I just sent the friend request out there to make sure that I can keep up on things. And like I said, please feel free to let us know. I know Michelle, your publicist, will stay in touch with us as well. So you have a blessed day, and we thank you again for spending time with us.
Thank you so much, Tony. You have a good day, too.
All right, buddy. All right,
bye-bye.
Folks. I will see you now. And what I want to do is make sure that everybody knows that they can go to the letter D, the letter T, the number 2, thewordauthor.org, okay? Or you can go to secretsoftherealm.com, and hit David up on Twitter. You can find him at the @ DT, the number 2 author. And hit him up on Facebook as well, as I just did, David Taylor 2 capital I's, and you'll find him on there as well. Hope everybody has a blessed day. We're very thankful for you tuning into us each week. We look forward to having you back as listeners next week. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.